This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is On the Media. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Michael Loewinger. Before the break, we heard from some of the people I spoke to when I went to Georgia to report on how the repercussions of the big lie were playing out in the lead up to next week's elections. I discovered that conspiracy theories about election fraud in Georgia have made life really difficult for some election workers in counties that went for Democrats in 2020. But local officials in Republican areas have had their own issues.
Enough is enough. We are not sitting up here any longer allowing anyone to belittle our office staff, our attorney, or us. It's wrong.
You're listening to a Cherokee County Elections Board member addressing a group of right-wing activists on October 3rd. I discovered the audio, which appears to have been secretly recorded, because it was shared in a quote-unquote election integrity Facebook group.
Last month was the breaking point for me. We will not be intimidated. We will not and cannot break election laws for you or anyone else.
I wanted to figure out what was going on here, so I drove out to the Cherokee County Elections Office to meet with this woman.
I'm Ann Dover. I'm the director of Cherokee County Elections.
And how long have you been working here?
I just had my 15-year anniversary.
Oh, wow. Congratulations. You're a veteran.
I'm afraid so.
When I met Ann, she was wearing huge Golden Cross earrings. We spoke in her office, which is decked out with American flags, vintage elections posters, and framed sheet music.
Amazing Grace. So I've got Amazing Grace over here on the wall.
If you listen really carefully, you might be able to hear the gurgle of her aquarium, home to a red, white, and blue betta fish.
So I'm a very patriotic person.
I know, I'm impressed.
She seems confident in her role as director, even though this is her first time in charge of a major election.
I sort of got thrown into this position at the end of 2020 because our director and our assistant director, who were my dear friends, they had just had enough. 2020 was very, very tiring, stressful.
Ann says that some people in Cherokee County, which is one of the most conservative counties in the Atlanta metropolitan area, have had a hard time with Trump's loss in 2020. She put up a sign in her office's lobby stating there was zero tolerance for profanity, verbal threats, or any act of violence.
You can yell at me, and that's fine, but don't curse at me.
And this summer, she got a troubling phone call.
We received on our voicemail, someone called and said that you people should be dragged out in the streets and beaten. We did turn that over to the authorities. The FBI responded almost immediately.
She says she's comfortable with the idea of defending herself if she had to. She keeps a rifle and a 9mm handgun in her car. But there's an emotional toll to all of this, and some activists have gotten under her skin.
They are very, very, very passionate people, and they're basically demanding that we do what they tell us to do.
She didn't want to name names for fear that it might add to the tension. But she says some of the activists informally refer to themselves as the Truth Seekers and the Cherokee Warriors. Many of them are associated with a statewide group called Voter GA.
Well, we've been working on this issue for 20 years. We've built up a lot of support.
Ann was cool with me reaching out to this man, Garland Favorito, the founder of Voter GA.
I've got 40 years of IT experience, information technology, and then about 20 years of part-time research into electronic voting equipment.
And I had read online that your group is affiliated with Michael Flynn. Is that true?
They've made like one donation to us. That's pretty much it.
Okay. Can I ask for how much it was for?
No, we don't discuss donors.
I asked because former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn, a well-known QAnon supporter, reportedly encouraged Donald Trump to try to deploy the military to rerun the 2020 elections. According to the New York Times, Favorito is no stranger to fringe theories. He wrote a book questioning the cause of the September 11th attacks and has, quote, trafficked in unproven theories about the Kennedy assassination. Recently, Favorito and his followers have become focused on what they consider to be a vulnerability in Georgia's voting system, the QR codes. Let me explain this a little bit. Georgia uses Dominion voting machines. That's the company that sued Fox News and Trump allies for defamation. When you vote on these machines, you choose your candidates on a touchscreen. Georgia Public Broadcasting did an explainer on this.
Once you have reviewed your choices, you will press a button that says Print Ballot. This will print out a piece of paper. That paper will have a QR code in the top left corner that contains all of the races and your selections.
Then you scan the QR code using a different machine, which records the actual vote and saves the paper, which can be reviewed later. It's a security feature.
The text on the paper ballot is designed to reassure voters that the choice selected on the machine will be what is scanned in through the QR code.
But Garland isn't reassured, despite the multiple audits in Georgia and the failed court cases, which appear to debunk conspiracy theories about Dominion and election fraud.
These QR codes are quick response codes, which you as a voter can't read.
This is Favorito on a right-wing podcast in February.
So this is particularly egregious because it's just a new way to have an unverifiable system where the voter cannot really determine what's actually happening in an election.
I mean, a QR code is a foreign language, and it's like nobody can understand it.
Exactly. We call it WYSIWYG.
I know that it just takes one little line, one little algorithm. That's all it takes.
These are some of the complaints that local activists have brought before the Cherokee Board of Commissioners, which, unlike Andover's Board of Election meetings, are filmed and posted online.
So even if an unreadable QR code was legal, which it is not, it is definitely able to be changed and therefore corrupt the results of an election.
If we have machines in November, I'm not voting. And I don't think I'm alone. And I hope that that matters to you. I want it to bother you. I want it to bother every elected official. If I have to vote,
I have tried to be very understanding of their concerns. I've written letters to our local legislators. I wrote a letter in June asking them to consider removing the QR code because we do have a number of Cherokee County citizens that do not like that QR code.
Do you believe there was election fraud in 2020?
I do not believe there was election fraud in Cherokee County. You can see the results of that on the Secretary of State's website. I feel like everything is great here in Cherokee County because I was here, I worked it, I lived it, I did it. You can ask Garland about Cherokee County. He came to our audit. He's been very complimentary of Cherokee County.
But it's possible that some people, like in his crew, are less trustful.
Exactly. Yeah. They say they want transparency. I don't know how much more transparent that we can be. We sat and we talked. They had pages of questions. We answered every one of their questions. We've answered every open records request possible. Misinformation is rampant. Whatever it is, they read it and they believe it, no matter what. And that's dangerous, very dangerous.
And it seems like a certain kind of misinformation is like falling on the shoulders of people like you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, I'm afraid so.
Anne has found herself watching Garland Favorito's live stream, an online watering hole that draws in some of the familiar local activists.
Just so I could see what we were going to be hit with. They are a group that says, we are we the people. And I understand that I'm a very patriotic person. My husband was in the military. He was a police officer. I'm your grassroots patriotic person, but I'm not going to break the law.
I'm assuming that many of the people who are coming after you mm-hmm. are also voting the same way as you. I mean, you probably agree on most things. Is that fair to say?
It is fair to say.
How does that feel?
It's hard to understand. I'm not here to throw an election.
You said they're asking you to break the law. What is it they're advocating for?
The main thing is they want us to count the ballots on election night at the polling locations.
For the coming election, if the machines are still used, then the ballots should be hand counted immediately after the polls closed and before they are sealed for storage.
Because they're fearful that after they leave the polling location, that something's going to happen.
Anne says she's tried to explain that counting the ballots by hand would take all night and that the polling places have to close after voting is done, that there's no budget for this kind of thing, and that it's illegal. Anne says that they've offered multiple times to assemble a group of volunteers to count the ballots themselves, if she'd just let them.
We can't just have a group of people come in, throw ballots out on the folded table, and start counting the races. We have to protect the ballots. I can't do anything about what they want me to do. And neither can our board, and neither can our board of commissioners.
Anne may present herself as powerless in this situation, but that's not quite right. She's using her authority to prevent a breakdown in the election process.
This is a concern all around the country that experts are seeing local election officials come under this great pressure to give access to voting systems, machines, and documents that are usually tightly guarded.
This is Emma Brown, an investigative reporter with The Washington Post. Her latest piece is about another election official in Georgia named Misty Hampton, who appears to have allowed things to get way out of hand.
It really begins shortly after Election Day in 2020. There was a meeting of the County Board of Elections in Coffee County. It's a rural county that went for Trump. He won in a landslide there. So the County Board of Elections meets, and the county election supervisor, Misty Hampton, who's basically in charge of the day-to-day running of the election, tells the board that it's possible to very easily flip votes from one candidate to another using a function of the Dominion machines.
Here's a viral video from December 2020 of Misty Hampton handling ballots and showcasing what she considered to be the vulnerability.
Well, when you look at it, it's tore, so we're going to set it to the side because we're going to have to look at it with the review panel.
What she was talking about was something called adjudication, and it's for mail ballots. So, you know, if you fill out your mail ballot and you do a sloppy job, you have some stray marks on your ballot, or maybe somebody voted for two candidates instead of one, or something like that. The machine can't read that. It doesn't know how to count your vote. So then it goes to humans, a bipartisan panel of people look at that. They decide if they can agree on the voter's intent, then they tell the computer how to mark it. And her claim was, look, I can just go in there and tell the computer to count that vote however I want.
So you made a vote for someone where someone did not vote.
I did, didn't I?
She was essentially saying, you know, I didn't do this, but a rogue election worker somewhere else could have done it. So had that actually happened in Georgia, it should have been caught in the statewide recount of all the ballots that was done in mid-November. And instead, that recount found that the machines had essentially tabulated accurately.
This wasn't evidence of election fraud, but in late 2020, the Trump campaign was looking for anything that might seem like evidence. They got in touch with Misty Hampton.
On January 7th, the day after the attack on the Capitol, this group of forensics experts from a data forensics firm in Atlanta, along with Republican activists and businessmen, came to Coffee County, and Misty Hampton allowed them into her office.
Surveillance video from January 2021 showed unauthorized people in a secure area of Coffee County's election office, where they appeared to be accessing election equipment and computers.
They were allowed to copy almost every component of Coffee County's voting system that day. All of that has come to light in court records and in the surveillance video I mentioned and in other records and documents. They were working under a contract with Sidney Powell, who's the pro-Trump lawyer who had made many false claims about widespread fraud in the election in the media and also in court in lawsuits that were tossed. She paid, through her nonprofit, $26,000 to these folks to do this work. They then uploaded it onto the internet, password-protected site, where it was downloaded by several election deniers around the country. What happened in Coffee County is just one of several alleged breaches that are now under criminal investigation around the country.
Back in Cherokee County, Ann Dover has refused to give in to the illegal demands of local activists. And she's paid a price for standing up for the law.
These people want a revolution, but they want me to break the law to cause their revolution. If they want a revolution, they can break the law. I'm not going to. When somebody says, I'm going to pray for you that you'll have a change of heart, and I'm like, my heart's fine because I'm following the law. I mean, we're all Christians in this office. We pray together. We pray before our meals when we go to lunch. When we're having extra tough days, we'll gather and have prayer. What bothers me is that they do it in the name of Christ. But then you exit the meeting and you get to the parking lot and people start yelling at you.
What have they yelled?
We have a combat war veteran here that works for us. And he was yelled at, "You should be hung for treason." He's a big fella, big heart, great guy. And it was very hurtful to all of us because he fought for our country.
I'm sorry for what you've gone through. I mean, it sounds very painful.
It's very upsetting. I have been at my grandson's ball game and somebody recognized me.
What did they do?
They whisper. I could hear them saying, "She's the director at the elections office." It's like, we actually made shirts, said Cherokee County elections, serving with kindness and integrity. We don't even wear them anymore because it causes too much attention, you know. And we don't really want people to know we're elections workers.
I don't think that you're the only election worker in this state who has experienced abuse. Oh,
absolutely not. It's definitely not a Cherokee County problem. It's a Georgia problem. It really is.
Why Georgia?
Because I don't believe the results of 2020. Somebody has to lose an election. There is a winner and there is a loser. It's been that way all through history. You have to accept who wins and be a gracious loser. We joke and say 2020 is never going to go away. It's got to be put behind us. A lot of Republicans won't agree with me on that, but we got to move forward.
I think it's fair to say that this isn't what Ann Dover signed up for when she took her first job at the Cherokee County Elections Office 15 years ago. She's struggled as of late, but she has no intention of retiring early.
An investigator with the state, he said to me, "It's not your job to worry about all of this stuff that they're worrying about with the machines. You can't change that. That's not your job." And I really have appreciated that comment because it keeps me focused on, I need to do my job, and that's to run elections. We have a lot of nice Cherokee County citizens, and I would say they probably outweigh the bad, but the bad are so bad sometimes that you forget the good, like the kid that's voting for the first time, or the 100-year-old lady that did her best to come in and vote in person. The senior citizens that call here and want to vote by mail and can you help me over the phone. There are so many people like that that appreciate us. So I try to remain focused on that.
Ann became director after her predecessor quit. The New York Times found that in 14 Ohio counties, 1 in 4 elections directors or deputy auditors resigned from their posts after the 2020 race. There was a similar count in Kansas and in Pennsylvania. And when mistrust and tense working conditions, powered by disinformation, push out the next wave of officials, who will be left to run our democracy at the county level? Will they be Ann Dovers or will they be Misty Hamptons?
And that's the show. On the Media is produced by Micah Loewinger, Eloise Blondio, Molly Schwartz, Rebecca Clark Callender, Candace Wong, and Suzanne Gaber, with help from Tammy George. Our technical director is Jennifer Munson. Katya Rogers is our executive producer. On the Media is a production of WNYC Studios. I'm Brooke Gladstone.